Welcome. Good afternoon, Dennis Galecki, and welcome to the 33rd noon hour, Suzanne, noon hour lecture discussion here hosted by our good friends at the Buffalo and Erie County Central Downtown Library. We have been imagining our future. We've been imagining that and then recording these, as you know. We'll pass around a yellow pad so that you can give us your email and you can be linked to this enterprise we call the Center for the Study of Art, Architecture, History, and Nature. And it is simply a digital enterprise established in 2009. It's and it's a network to help link volunteers and lifelong learning communities. This is a lifelong learning community, and all of our speakers represent lifelong learning communities. So we have them imagine our future, and then on the fourth Tuesday of the month, we've been asking them to answer this question: why are Buffalo Niagara's art, architecture, history, and or nature, why are they important? And get a different perspective on that. So our speaker today I met a year ago, and had a good fortune, very good fortune, to be part of the process that we call the 21st Century Fund. How many are you are aware of that story, the 21st Century Fund? Every 2 years, it gives a prize to a group of significant amount of money, and for the best project. And it's a wonderful project from, again, ground roots up. People tied with the Community Foundation that select projects. Well, there were four finalists. Our speaker represented Garden Walks Buffalo as one of the finalists in the National Garden Walk project that was evolving from it. And the Museum of Science ended up winning that. You may have seen that in the paper with a wonderful project tied to education. So, but I thought, wow, this project, this Garden Walk Buffalo, could do more to change the image, the brand, if you will, of Buffalo than any one thing I could imagine. And I, along with other projects, all good, but this one was special. So I asked Jim if he would be kind enough to speak, and here it is suddenly a year later. Oh, my, time flies. So you may be aware and caught the fact that our newly named former Convention and Visitors Bureau, now Visit Buffalo Niagara, has rebranded Buffalo, and it's really not a major brand, but it's an interesting twist, Buffalo for real. But when you see their literature, you'll see three different images. I haven't gotten the third one yet, but it will say, explore a place where art, architecture, and nature come together like old friends. The brochures are the same, the covers will be different. That's a very smart idea. We have a representative, Ed Healy, in the audience, and I think it's a clever way of maximizing an idea. The third one, I think, is Jackson Pollock, representing art, which we'll see later on. But the four seasons of Buffalo are clearly shown as part of that nature. And our speaker, Jim Charlier, thought of an idea, looked around his home on a side street in the Elmwood Village, saw these beautiful gardens, his own included, thought people are walking around here seeing things. What if we just organized that and caught some peak weekend in July and when everything is at its best and invited people to come one year after the other and build the people who would be interested in showing their gardens, front, side, backyards even, and make sure, and this is an interesting notion that the center believes in strongly, that it's for free, that money is not the issue. We're not raising something. Others do that and do that well, but the idea of allowing people just to walk, help them open their eyes, and I would argue see the combination of art that is in nature, art that is in the architecture, nature, and get a sense of the history. Most of these houses are from the 1890s, most of them on, 10s, 20s, 1920s. So you really get a sense of the history of Buffalo just by walking. And it's a family engagement. Families of lifelong learners of all ages are more than welcome. I will save the details and the beautiful images that we, I'm sure we'll see for our speaker, but my hat's off to a guy that gets an idea, runs with it, and doesn't just suggest others do it, does it himself, and then people follow good ideas. That's my basic belief in life. The money and people will follow, all you'll need. So Jim Charlier, congratulations and welcome as a speaker as we find out why we think, my guess is the nature and the art, architecture, and history part are important. Thank you for answering that question for us.
I think George has said everything, so I really don't have to say too much. Before I start, I just want to find out, how many people have gone on the garden walk before?
Look at that.
So just about everyone. How many people go on go to either parks, botanical gardens, private garden, like Longwood Gardens sort of thing, or things like that when they travel? You always try to hit some of those up. Because that's what I want people to know Buffalo for in the future. If I had to say, name a gardening city, what cities come to your mind?
St. Louis.
Philadelphia.
Philadelphia. See, I want to occupy that space in your mind. I want Buffalo to take that spot. When I think of gardening cities, I do think of Philadelphia because they've got Longwood Gardens, they've got the Philly Flower Show. I also think of Charleston. Beautiful gardens. I also, St. Louis is one, and Seattle. What's that?
Savannah,
yeah. So I want to occupy in the nation's thought that Buffalo is among those cities. I started with Garden Walk as president about 5 years ago, and since then we've become a 501c3. And I want to talk a little bit about Garden Walk. Most of you probably, if you know anything about garden tourism, you know Giverny in outside of Paris. Maybe you've heard of Sissinghurst in England. Maybe Keukenhof outside of Amsterdam. And probably the most famous vegetable garden in the world is Vilandry, which is in the Loire Valley. But this is what I want people to think of when they think of Buffalo. Yeah, that's Ellie's. This was actually in the Wall Street Journal website. Of all places, the Wall Street Journal called up Ellie to ask her questions about her health strip, the area between the sidewalk and road. And she has answers. Garden Walk was started in 1995 after Marvin Lunenfeld here with his wife Gail McCarthy, who lived on Norwood Ave. They went to the Sheffield Garden Walk in Chicago and said, hey, we should be doing something like this for ourselves here in Buffalo. They came back and did it with their Norwood Avenue Garden, just the Norwood Avenue Block Club. And the first year was 29 gardens. It was a tiny little thing. But it was their idea to keep this free and open. Open in that there is no fancy garden criteria to enter your gardens, and that it's free to go and visit these gardens. This is their house on Norwood. The neighborhood has put a bench there with a plaque on it to commemorate this. This is ground zero for Garden Walk. And again, in 1995, there were 29 gardens. This year, we just closed applications. There's 365, making this the largest garden tour in the country. The next largest garden tour is actually the state of Virginia. They have a week-long event that takes place over the entire state. And tickets start at $125. I'm told it's great, but ours does happen to be free. And those gardens, there's only about, I think, 250 gardens on that tour, and that's across the state.
How about New Jersey being the garden state?
Yeah, so what? No, New Jersey's beautiful. We've gotten, because of the Garden Walk and the publicity that the Garden Walk Committee puts out there, we've gotten spectacular coverage in the gardening press. Like the San Francisco Chronicle put us on the front page of their living section, on a Sunday issue of their paper. This is by an over-enthusiastic garden fan who is, if you know Sally Cunningham here in Buffalo, this Terry Ettinger, he's the Sally Cunningham of Central New York. He's radio, TV, print, everything. And it's, I love his quote, but actually more I like the little headline on the article there that says, Garden Walk Buffalo better than the Philly Flower Show. TheAtlantic.com.
Jim, for the sake of the audio, read some of those
out loud. And this one was from Martha Stewart Living Online. Most people wouldn't think of Buffalo as an epicenter of American horticulture, but it looks like gardening may be their official pastime. And Organic Gardening said, urban renewal is coming, inspired in part by Garden Walk Buffalo, the largest event of its kind in the nation. Garden Gate Magazine says Buffalo's got the greatest concentration of beautiful residential gardens I've ever seen. I mean, when they came here to shoot a couple years ago with gardens on Lancaster Avenue, they shot one beautiful garden, then turned the cameras around and shot the house across the street. That's how close they are. They never really have that opportunity when they visit cities. Buffalo is one of the best-kept secrets among garden cities in the country, from the Baltimore Sun. I'm not doing my job if people still think it's a secret. This is probably my favorite quote. This is also from The Atlantic. There are Japanese gardens, English gardens, Russian gardens, and Buffalo gardens. Eclectic, funky mixes in which found objects and exotic-looking surrounding rooftops figure prominently. So this is what we want to highlight, is this whole Buffalo-style gardening. This is not something that occurred to anyone here in Buffalo. This is someone who came and visited our gardens and thought, you know, you guys have a style of gardening. So we've been pushing this, and we sort of decided that we have this style of gardening because most of the gardens, 300-some gardeners on, most all the gardeners on Garden Walk are not professionals. Because of that, and the small spaces that they occupy in these urban spots, because of that, they do unexpected things and make their spaces more personal. If you have a landscaper come in, you're going to get, you know, sort of, I don't want to say cookie cutter, but you will get grander gardens, not intimate. You will get maybe expected combinations of things. We non-professional gardeners will mix brash combinations of colors, and we'll plant things in absolutely the wrong spot whatsoever, which makes for unique and very personal gardens. And of course, the artwork here is nothing to scoff at. That's one of my favorites. Yeah, most landscapers wouldn't suggest you paint your picket fence purple. Yeah, this garden here is directly across the street from this garden here. And of course, we've got great public spaces. And that's the thing that Marvin had set up for us originally, is that this should be a democratic thing. Most garden tours throughout the country are going to be generally 12 to 20 houses. They're going to be a car drive away from each other, and it's going to cost you anywhere from $10 to $20 to visit these houses. Generally, they don't even publish the names of the houses until you buy the ticket. So they're in a lot of them, the ones I've been on anyway, many of them have landscapers that actually do the gardening. The homeowners don't necessarily garden. They wanted none of that. The other thing that having no garden criteria enables us to do in Buffalo, especially on the west side, is we have many different cultures that sort of mash up on the west side. We have every size of garden, every quality of garden, every culture is represented, and it's also there's one great garden on Brayton Street. If you get down there, if you go to Garden Walk, this couple is from Vietnam. They can barely speak English. But if you show up and you start complimenting them on their garden, which is hard not to do, they'll start sharing their seeds with you. And their backyard's not on the tour, but if you do get a chance to go into the backyard, because they'll invite you in, they are growing many of their vegetables in the ways that they do in Vietnam. They grow their squash from a trellis so that they grow long. There's many different things that they do. Now, their aesthetic taste is not necessarily what mine is, or maybe some of yours, but just, again, the brashness and the use of color and the uniqueness of their garden and how they make it so personal makes this one of my favorite gardens on the walk.
What street was that?
That's on Brayton.
This, on the west side.
Yeah, it's all on the west side, yeah. The garden walk is, the spine of garden walk is basically Elmwood Avenue, and it radiates out from there. Everywhere from the museum, the Historical Society, all the way down to the waterfront, and basically from the Peace Bridge up to about Main Street. This one amazes me. This is an urban backyard. This is in the Kleinhans area. This one, again, this is a no fancy garden designer, but a pastor for hospice, actually. And this is deceptive because he's done so many tricks in this garden with space. It's only about three steps from the pond to what would be the left-hand side of the screen. It's deceptively large looking. Again, no garden designers. These were built by Arlen Peters, who's the former president of Garden Walk. Yeah. Oh, this is the one on Brayton. It's not my aesthetic. I wouldn't put tire planters in my front yard, but honestly, it's beautiful. I think there's actually tire marks in the street where people slam on their brakes to take a look at this house. And people have asked me why Buffalo? And the reasons I have come up with so far is that people assume that people always say, oh, you have such a short growing season. And I don't think our growing season is that much shorter than any place else in the Northeast. We're not the tundra. But I think we have not only, it's shorter than, you know, Texas, but I think that we also have a splendid gardening season in that we have the nice cool, sometimes early spring, sometimes very late, but they last long into even September. And I think that's unexpected. People don't think we have that. And also our position on the lake, most people assume that since a lot of New York State is zone 4 for planting, Buffalo is actually zone 6 in the city. And I actually have some zone 7 plants in my yard, because if you've got microclimates where you've got sheltered areas, you can grow zone 7 plants here. So I think people are sort of blown away by that. Couple that with, I can't remember the exact data, but I do remember that the Buffalo Museum of Science has done some weather studies and shows that Buffalo has the most partly or cloud-free days of any city in the Northeast. That includes our winters as well. But another factor that ties in here is that we have so many creative people in Buffalo, especially on the west side. We have sculptors, we have photographers, we've got writers, we've got dancers on the garden walk, there's a puppeteer. We have so many creative people, and another creative expression is their own personal gardens. And then obviously the great architecture, that's what some people come to look at. As a matter of fact, Garden Walk Buffalo received an award from the American Institute of Architects this past year, because we not only bring people in to see the gardens, but we, by subterfuge, get them to look at the houses, appreciate the houses, walk around the houses, and actually meet the people who live in the houses. There is no other event that even an architectural group could put together much like this. And it's a great way to not only, I mean, people talk about our great streets in Buffalo. It's one thing to zoom by them when you're driving. It's another thing to walk the beautiful streets. But when you're actually able to walk around a house and sort of look at it as an art object and then meet the people who live in it, I think that's a spectacular thing that no other event in Buffalo does. And then the other great asset we have is we have these abnormally friendly people in Buffalo. It's sort of freaky to people who aren't from here and don't understand people from Buffalo. We've had this discussion many times. People have said that, you know, my sister on Long Island would never, ever let, you know, 10,000 people into their backyard. The litigation, the headaches, the hassles, the prepping for it, the expense, it just wouldn't be done. And if you have ever gone on Garden Walk and you get a chance to go in these backyards, every gardener wants to be there for the 6 hours of the event on a Saturday and Sunday, and they want to talk to every single person. And we tell people, you take a break, drink, it's very dry, but take a relax once in a while, go in the house and close the door, because it's exhausting. By the end of Sunday, people are spent. This is Ellie's again. This is one yard that's so small that they built a huge, huge, huge fountain that takes up the majority of the yard. And obviously we have great public spaces which are included, the Delaware Park Rose Garden, our beautiful circles. The test gardens at the marina is a great site for people, especially visitors who come in. When people think of Buffalo, they don't think of us necessarily as a lake city. And this beautiful test gardens down here are testing plants for seed companies from around the world. Actually, most of the plants you see in here either will not make market or will end up in garden centers in 2 to 3 years. Japanese garden is part of the tour. And again, the Garden Walk Committee is, I have 20 here members, but it's probably 25 or some. One of them is here. Jenny Williams is on the committee and helps out in many aspects of Garden Walk. And actually, George is one of the sponsors of Garden Walk, who is here, and Ed Healy from Visit Buffalo Niagara, the Buffalo Convention Visitors Bureau, is also here, and then I also have my priest here for spiritual guidance. But the three headquarters we have are spaced around the west side. We found that one headquarters is not enough for us anymore. It takes about 75 people to work these headquarters. And with 360 gardens, we figure there's about 50,000 plus visitors. Since we don't take tickets or sell tickets or do anything registering anyone, we have absolutely no idea how many people show up for this. It could be twice that. We have no idea. Garden Walk has generated lots of enthusiasm in the city. This is the gardeners on Delavan, the Gercios. They have a Victorian garden and dress as though they're in their Victorian garden each year. Even houses that aren't on Garden Walk have started to garden together separately. This is Lancaster Avenue again. I think two out of these four houses are on Garden Walk, but the owners of the other houses have planted their median strips, and it's just one beautiful, always in color section of Lancaster. That's been a great thing, is how the people in Buffalo have embraced Garden Walk, even the people who aren't on the Garden Walk. Another great thing that's happened is Urban Roots was started by a couple 30-somethings at the time. And this is the only gardening cooperative in the country. They started because they kept coming to our Garden Walk parties. We have parties for the gardeners before the walk and after the walk as thank yous. They would show up at these parties and everyone was talking about how they'd have to go out to Home Depot or how they'd have to go out to all the suburbs to get all their plants. And they said, we've got, at that time, 250-some gardeners who don't like traveling out to the suburbs all the time to get their plant needs. Why don't we start a garden center? Why don't we make it a co-op? So this entity exists because Garden Walk exists. And they've even taken up an area of the city where people might not have put a garden center had they done their marketing studies. And they've actually improved the neighborhood significantly. That is on Rhode Island Street. If you know where Left Bank is, the restaurant, it's right down the street from the Left Bank. Yep.
There's a bakery next to it.
Yes, there's a great bakery next to it. Again, which would not be there if Urban Roots hadn't opened up. Another great thing that I'm very proud of is 16th Street, which is a great street on Garden Walk. 15 years ago, I lived on 16th Street. It wasn't that great a street. I was the only house on Garden Walk that was on the walk, and I was about midway down the block. Even though Summer Street had so many beautiful gardens on it, and they would get literally tens of thousands of people visiting, I'd only get a couple hundred walking that half block to my house. And since I sold my house, the neighborhood has improved so much that as opposed to just being my house, my former house on the walk, they now have 17 of the houses on Garden Walk. The value of the homes has skyrocketed since I sold mine. And there's a neighborhood block club. They've cleaned up the block. One of the avid gardeners, he takes hold of the front yard garden of one of the, it's an old Italian neighborhood, of one of the little old Italian ladies who either can't afford or doesn't have the wherewithal anymore to take care of a garden. The neighborhood pays and puts in the garden, and this one homeowner will do all the planting. So the neighborhood's completely transformed. It's a completely different street. One of my favorite things is they ask if they could take all the Garden Walk posters and use them as lamp posts, signs along their street. So that's what these are, is 16th Street lamp banners. Of course, there's great ideas to steal, how to not mow your health strip. This is Arlen Peters again. He's got an entire misting system for this moss garden. The tire planters again, which I think, maybe I will do that. They photograph well. Mirrors, you'll find lots of mirrors. Old furniture. This is great. This is over in the Kleinhans area. This is my daughter. This is her Harry Potter garden. We go to the nurseries and we buy the strangest, oddest looking plants each year, and we give them the names of the plants from the Harry Potter books. This is Arlen Peters again. I like this because I have to do this idea at some point. The stairs there, there's a sort of a trough behind the riser, and he's got the plants there are strawberries. So he plants strawberries on his stairs. Urban gardeners have to be, you know, take advantage of every single space they've got. An umbrella stand. This is another garden on Lancaster Avenue. She has so many pots that have to be brought out and dragged back in to the garage that she refuses to tell her husband how many there are, because if she does, he won't do it. Most of the gardens you're seeing have been published in gardening magazines throughout the country. Another great thing we've done, and it sort of blows even my mind, that we do this free event, absolutely free, costs nothing to anyone who wants to come to it, but we've also, out of that, produced a book, which is not in here, but we've produced a Garden Walk book that is it's the only book on gardening in Buffalo's history. We did this a few years ago. It was a big undertaking. And I can leave it out for people to take a look at, but it's a beautifully done book. And on our board, on our committee, we just happen to have a professional writer, Elizabeth Licata, the editor of Spree Magazine, who wrote the book. I'm an art director, a designer, so I designed it. And then we also on our board, we have a photographer who shot all the photos for it. We also happen to have on our board someone from MT Bank who's a print producer. So the stars aligned so that we were able to put a book together with just the talent we have on our committees. Most boards don't have that advantage.
Where is it for sale?
It is for sale.
Is it
at the Martin House? It's at the Martin House.
Walking Leaves has it also.
Yeah. It should be at most bookstores. And if they don't have it, you should ask for it. And we take on the artwork of a donation of artwork each year for our beautiful posters. We have a very engaging and active website. We even list other garden tours on our website. One of the things I'm also very, very proud of is that even though we're a free event, we give out money to block clubs, nonprofits and community groups to do gardening projects in the area of Garden Walk. It just amazes me that we don't have to charge anyone anything, and yet we've given out $30,000 in the last 7 years for 60-some garden projects. It's coming up with making hay out of with gold. What's the expression?
Alchemy.
Yes, that's what it is. Alchemy. And it's all free. We do about 15,000 maps, and about 10,000 are downloaded from our website. I have last year's maps up here if you want to take them. We're working on this year's maps right now. The maps don't change significantly from year to year, but if you want to take any of last year's, you're welcome to. And again, the maps are free. There's no cost for those. You can download them for free and pick them up from one of our headquarters for free, or from one of our sponsors for free. And then you just go around looking for the big yellow signs, and that's also free. And then on top of all that, there's not enough we've done, we try to get all the green nonprofits in the area into Bidwell Parkway with tables so they can answer questions about plants. We've had the Daylily Society, the Hosta Society, the garden clubs, the grassroots gardens. All these groups are generally in Bidwell Parkway, and you can find out more information about what they do. Even though we're a nonprofit, we feel we should, if we're dragging 60,000 people into Buffalo, it would be nice to share it with the other green nonprofits in the area. And again, all that is free. And then the last few years, we've provided shuttle buses for free, no cost. You just hop on, hop off shuttle buses that go from our headquarters and have stops in between. And last year, we also had people from Buffalo Tours giving tours to the tourists on the buses, all for free. Our funding comes from a couple sources, straight donations. We sell merchandise, hats, t-shirts, posters, things like that, and we have corporate sponsors. We've gotten to the point now where last year the Buffalo, Visit Buffalo Niagara, and Garden Walk also brought in his name is Richard Benfield. When I started looking up garden tourism on the internet, I found that his name kept coming up, and I found that he's written a book called Garden Tourism that will be out shortly. Richard Benfield is a professor at the University of Central Connecticut, a professor of geography, and he tells me, I just called him up out of the blue, he tells me he is the country's leading expert in garden tourism because there is no one else. And then he said that because I was asking him good questions, I could be number two. Ed from the CVB, actually, we invited Richard Benfield here last year, and he attended Garden Walk. He'd heard of it before. And he helped us structure things so that we were able to do some decent zip code research and survey taking. And one of the top stats we found is that, obviously, most of the people come from New York State, but we weren't 100% sure how many and where people were coming from. Now we have some of that information. It sort of blows my mind. You assume Canada and Ohio and Pennsylvania would be the next, because they're the nearest, but the next largest would be Florida, for some reason. But 36 states were represented in the information we took, and 24% of the zip codes were from outside of Erie and Niagara counties, which is pretty good. And then we've got all sorts of zip code stuff that we have to look at, and we're going to redo some of this research this year. And then from Garden Walk comes...
And you're invited to stop and smell the flowers at this summer's National Garden Festival.
You wouldn't expect that, like, some hostas and some geraniums could actually change a neighborhood, but I think that Buffalo is really proof that that can happen.
Walk and gawk at 16 free garden tours, including Garden Walk Buffalo, the largest event of its kind in the United States. Make yourself at home at more than 50 free open gardens on Thursdays and Fridays. Learn from the masters as a group of landscape pros go toe-to-toe and rake-to-hoe to remake a series of city yards. Take a magical motor coach tour of urban farms, community gardens, historic cemeteries, and parks designed by the legendary landscape architect Frederick Law Olmsted. Or just wander among the eye-popping perennials at Buffalo's Botanical Gardens any day of the week.
Summers here actually seem more relaxed and more laid back and more like everybody's on vacation. I think it really does make it feel like there's this citywide party going on in the middle of the summer.
So come and while away a few glorious summer hours conversing with the flowers at the National Garden Festival in Buffalo. The latch off the garden gate.
I don't know if you can hear much of that. So out of this idea that Marvin Lunenfeld had that became a big thing, Garden Walk, the Visit Buffalo Niagara had approached us to say, hey, you guys should be, this is great what you guys are doing. Can you do more? And the answer was, no, we can't do more. It takes a lot to put on a garden tour of this size. And so what we did was we came up with more things we can do garden-wise to promote Buffalo that Garden Walk Buffalo can just do what they do excellently already. And we've come up with a National Garden Festival. This was a short spot done recently. And the festival, for the first time ever, is trying to market all the garden tours in the area. There's 15 garden tours in the area. That's for the course of 5 weeks. This is a five-week-long festival as opposed to Garden Walk, which is just a two-day event. And coordinate all those garden festivals, the garden walks. They've never sat down and talked to each other about how they market themselves, how they find sponsors, how they print maps. We'd never talked to each other. So we were actually put in the same room, and we've been sharing information ever since. Another thing that the Natural Garden Festival has been able to do is present some open gardens. We get comments all the time about, you know, I'd love to go to your garden walk, but I'm not available that weekend. We now have open gardens throughout Erie and Niagara counties, open on Thursdays and Fridays, that you can go to. Again, it costs nothing. You can find out from nationalgardenfestival.com what gardens are open, where they are, and what times. So you can still see some of the best gardens in the area without having to go to a garden walk. Also, the AAA has jumped in, Horizon Tours, and they now produce bus tours every Friday. These cost, they're not free. But they can get you out to things like the Olmsted Parks. You can get in-depth tours of the Olmsted Parks, Forest Lawn. There will be some private garden tours that come along with these. And every Friday during these 5 weeks, there's some information, there's a flyer up here about that. There are some great garden tours. Also, the garden centers already had been doing workshops and seminars and symposia already anyway. What we did is help them coordinate it so that the times don't overlap, if we can avoid it, or topics don't overlap. So that's been a huge thing, and we keep trying to encourage and incorporate that into what we do. Another huge thing that we're all very proud of is we've established a front yard garden contest. Last year, we took over 19 homes on North Parade Street, and which faces Martin Luther King Park. And we had the Landscape Association locally. I think there was 12 landscapers that took over these 19 gardens and completely redid them at no charge to the residents. That was so successful that we're actually going to do it again this year in South Buffalo on Casanova Park, a Newman Place, which faces Casanova Park. Landscapers, again, I think there's about a dozen of them taking over 12 or 14 houses. And again, there's no charge. All this stuff starts on June 24th with a kickoff party at the Botanical Gardens. And everything ends with Garden Walk. And I'd love to answer any questions you have about either Garden Walk Buffalo or the National Garden Festival.
That was just... Oh, Brenda. That was just...
have the other microphone?
Here, I'll run out and get these.
Questions, lots of questions. We'll do our best to make them short. I'll start right here.
Thank you very much. I'm Billy Brooks. I have a question. It just so happens that the 25th is the end of the Buffalo Beer Week, which is going to be happening this year. It's actually a national phenomenon. And in many places, the beer weeks bring people from all over the country, possibly in the world. Craft beer is a big deal in the United States. So it's maybe a little bit short notice to do anything with that this year, but if there would be, I'm on the planning committee for events related to that. So maybe we should talk.
Sounds like beer and gardens go great together.
Especially if the gardens go.
Yes.
Okay, we're done.
Here's a quick question. I know you guys have done a lot, and this could be a great model for starting some sort of nonprofit. What would you say are the things that made this successful in terms organizationally and really getting it off the ground? There's been lots of things where a couple of people have gotten together, but it never grew past that.
I think that obviously we can't do anything without the gardeners. We do this all for us. That we don't pay them. They don't. There's no prizes or anything. Can't do anything without. They're the product we're selling. But I would say that the reason we're able to grow like this is because of the Garden Walk Board and Committee, the dedicated people. And trust me, some of these people have been doing it for all 17 years. And I think it's that group that you can credit its growth and its success. I don't think we planned on becoming so big so quickly, but it's happened, and you know, we've been trying to embrace it as we grow. And I think becoming a 501c3 was a critical decision in our group's history, and that forces you to grow up. It's the personalities in the committee, I think.
Jim, just an observation first. We went on North Parade just this last week. It's amazing how well those have been maintained by the owners. The other simple question, but when you're talking about attendance, Elizabeth Dyckman used to give out a mint to every visitor, and that was the way she kept count. Did she ever reveal how many went through her?
I heard she did that. I didn't hear exactly. I do know that in my garden, okay, up the street, he makes his daughter count. And we'll just steal his numbers. We get about 2,600 people in our garden in 2 days. Over on the popular areas of Summer Street, the little cottage areas, those gardens, they're standing, I tell people don't even go there if you've been there before, there's lines to get into gardens. It's standing room only. They're small spaces. And they count in over 4,000 people in their garden in a weekend. That's a lot. It's a lot of wear and tear on a garden, too.
Okay, next question.
Just something to plant in everyone's brain. I happened to go to Germany for a wedding years ago, and there's things, there's gardens, there's lawns, and there's parking lots. And I parked my car in what I thought was a lawn. It turned out to be a special kind of block for the lawn. So just an idea for people to cut back on all these big parking lots with asphalt. You can put actually a block down, the grass grows around it, and it isn't presently required by, I think code doesn't allow it, but we should push to have more grass and less asphalt. Just an idea to think about.
There are groups in Buffalo that are doing that currently. There's groups that, and architects in particular, that are working on more sustainable design built into the urban environment.
And the rain can fall right through.
Exactly.
And it's allowed now by code?
I don't know. Okay. I'm the wrong person to ask about codes.
There you go.
Yeah, I think it's a great event, and one of my qualms is always, I guess I'm not a morning person, and I've often wondered why cutting it off at 4 o'clock. The hours couldn't be extended to maybe 5 or 6. Might help with some of that overflow.
Well, actually, we're trying to do that now. Last year and the year before, we started telling people 4 o'clock or until the yellow sign is put away. If there's a yellow sign out, you can still visit that garden, because many of the gardeners would like to have it open later, too.
And are you still taking entrance, or has
No.
Okay, closed?
It closed on May 15th. I took the last one yesterday.
Oh, that's just for this year?
Yes.
But it's next year somebody could...
Next year you could keep it, yeah.
You know, back in the late 80s, some of the planners around here, I think the New York State Economic Development Corporation, hired a consultant to come up with some ideas for the waterfront. And one of which she came up with was to develop acres upon acres into mass gardens on the waterfront. And she cited an example of an old industrial town in England that did that. And, you know, the idea was grow them and they will come. And they did come to this town in England. And I'm wondering, with the success of the garden walk, has it any idea, has there ever been any thought of expanding it into, you know, a commercial entity of some sort on the waterfront? Or?
Well, I'll tell you, my own personal thing is, you know, garden walk has grown to a certain point. And then the National Garden Festival has sort of taken it from there. What I would like to see in 10, 15 years is that gardening be incorporated into anything the city is doing. I don't think you have to plant huge gardens. I think you can incorporate gardens into whatever you're already doing. I've been to the Phipps Conservancy Conservatory in Pittsburgh, which is their botanical gardens. Their botanical gardens is built, the new parts around it anyway, it's built more like a convention center. There's a beautiful reception hall. There is a great cafe, and it's right in the middle of a park. And this is where people hold corporate meetings. It's where people hold weddings. It's where reunions are held. They've incorporated, and it's a great business model, I think, for botanical gardens. But this is a civic building used for civic events that just happens to incorporate gardening throughout the entire space, from the entrance all the way to the smallest room. And I would love to see Buffalo incorporate gardens into everything you're doing. You got some grain silos you want to do something with. Let's assume that 20% of the grounds has to be landscaped. I think everything has to have some sort of a green element into it.
Jim, we've got one last question.
I think you're doing a great job, and I think it's wonderful that starting the garden walk brought the community together on the west side of Buffalo. And obviously, it started in west side for some reason. Is there a possibility to have it incorporated to North Buffalo, South Buffalo, the east side of Buffalo? I mean, why is it in the other parts of the city? I mean, you need a community to get this, I understand. Thanks.
It's a great last question.
Yeah, and that's a question we get asked all the time, obviously. My pat answer is that not all the board members are west side residents. Some are Kenmore, and we've got some people who live in the South Towns and stuff. But the core of them are from the west side. And I keep telling people, if people from North Buffalo want to be part of it, if you can bring in 5 or 6 people to help coordinate that effort and help find volunteers to man a headquarters in that area, we'll be much more open to it. But we have a number of volunteers now, and we can only do so much work.
Of course. East side is desperate. They need all the help they can get.
I know. And we've actually, any information we have on starting a garden tour, we've got papers about it. We give out to anyone who asks. There's a new tour in Cleveland. It's called Garden Walk Cleveland. That's starting this year. They keep coming up here, and they loved our walk so much, they started their own. I gave them our applications. I gave them everything we have, all our materials, so that they have a sense of how to start this thing. We talk about insurance and things like that. And I've done the same for people on the east side, but nothing's come of it. We encourage people to come up with their own tours. At this point, we're not...
It's tough.
We don't have enough volunteers to make it happen in a larger way.
It's growing, and now you can get involved and make your own dreams happen, if you like. Because I'm a good friend, I'm going to give one more exception.
Are there any participants east of Main Street?
No, there are not. No.
Someday it might be, but you got to... make the thing grow. It's like a rich garden.
And another thing that is unique about our garden walk is that you can walk it. It's big, but you can actually walk it. In the suburbs where there are other garden tours, you have to hop in your car. Our philosophy is once people have to get in their car, they're going to go. So keeping it walkable is also important to us.
Good point. That doesn't mean you couldn't develop more offshoots, yeah. and more spin-offs. I mentioned to Jim... before, if we just encourage people to walk across one of the most incredible mile walks around. That's a walk across the Peace Bridge. You might want to take your passports with you. But on the other side, you'll be at Mather Park, and you would suddenly have an international garden walk, which would be one step beyond the national garden walk. But it's we've got lots of possibilities here in this community. You could do it in Niagara Falls eventually, et cetera. So we've got just a few ways of saying thank you, Jim. And first, if you'll grab that certificate of appreciation on the bottom, you can open that up, and you'll see that from the center, we're delighted that you, help point to and enhance appreciation of the built and natural in our community with your garden walk and all that people see in combining art, architecture, history, and nature together. Here is, we're hoping that we also become a center for the study of American architecture. That's how the world should see Buffalo in the region. And as a result, Frank Lloyd Wright's Architecture and Nature book by Mr. Hoffman, Donald Hoffman, is a gift we'd like to make. And nicely pointing into next week, this is part of an idea I call the Buffalo Chautauqua idea. And our speaker in 3 weeks will be Anthony Bannon, who created this wonderful booklet last year. He is the executive director of the George Eastman House from Rochester and a native of our area. He was the head of the Birchfield Penny before Ted Piachuk, who served that capacity for, I think, a decade or so. So he has great roots here. I heard him speak in Chautauqua and asked him if he would come here, and he delightfully said yes. So we'll see him in 3 weeks. So take that brochure as well. It's a wonderful connection. Slight revision for June. Normally this is the second and fourth Tuesday. In June, it'll be the second and third. Chautauqua starts actually the fourth week. Gardens start the fourth week. We've got lots of other things to do to get outside. So we will have the second and third. I mentioned Mr. Bannon will be our second week. And then our third is Kitty Turgeon. Many of you may know her as the historian for the Roy Croft. And that will be a theme that continues on in the summer. Our second Buffalo Day Chautauqua will be August 16th. And it will focus on Albert Hubbard. And that will be week 8 at Chautauqua, which focuses on creativity, innovation. And Albert Hubbard seems to be a great representative of that. So you'll be hearing more. I've got a few brochures because I will mention every Wednesday during July and August, we will have a landmark cruise that the center sponsors, and we will be starting to point towards the War of 1812 and sort of connect a lot of the ideas we hear inside and take them out into the water for a couple of hours and imagine our future from water's edge. So join us any Wednesday at 3 o'clock for that at Miss Buffalo, I give that tour. So we've got lots. Please take these maps. This is an incredible brochure. The center has the privilege of being listed as a major donor. It's the one thing we sponsor and raise money for ourselves to give to them, because I think they've just done a great job. I hope you can see why my enthusiasm for Jim Charlier and this Garden Walk Buffalo has happened. So let's give Jim one last hand. Thank you very much. And thank you. Those of you connected on the email, I passed that around. We may also have we're working with a particular speaker, well-known, for June 7th. It's not clear that his schedule is available, but the minute I know, I was hoping I'd know by today, if you couldn't finalize it, we may have something in 2 weeks on June 7th. So get yourself posted. If you didn't sign up, give me your email address. That's how we stay in touch with each other. Thank you. Good day. Enjoy a nice spring day.
Yes. Yeah, I heard your name in the announcement. I'm like, hey,